Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Excess Astrology. This is Ann Ortley calling in to give you the update on the show and to check in and talk to you about what's going on around the world right now. And right now, I'm waiting for Heather to call in. Mark will be missing us tonight because he's got another commitment. So right now, it's just me all by myself. And that's kind of a little weird, but here I am. Okay, so what we're doing is talking to you tonight a little bit about astrology and how we get there and what we do and what's going on. So right now there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in the sky that's very much about craziness. So the idea is to give you an overview of what it is, and then we go from there with the story. So the idea is forward. This is a very, very powerful time in the world. We're having enormous changes that are happening. We have five planets that are outer planets changing signs. And as they change signs, what we are feeling here on Earth is this major feeling of the shifting of the energy that's incredibly profound. So when we find that, what we do is we kind of go, wow, I'm really feeling this energy shift. It's highly profound. At the same time, I don't have a guidance. I don't have a compass. I don't have an ability to figure out how to get there. I'm working hard in trying to get to this, trying to figure this out, trying to do these changes and have these changes. So when we do that, we kind of find an enormous shift in our lifetime. And this is actually a huge shift. So we have Saturn changing signs. He has not been in the sign of Libra since 1980-81. So that's a 30-year sign. So if you think back to 1980-81, you were working with this energy on a different level. Okay. When we look back to understanding this and trying to figure out what's going on with it, we simply say, wow, what was happening then? And if you think about your life back then, there was an enormous set of changes that you were undergoing, and you're having an echo or a repeat of them now. Okay? So when that happens, what we find is that the universe says, you know, go back and look at the old life, go back and look at the old experiences. Think about what was going on with you then, because we're having a similar story now, or you're going to be having a similar story now, with the idea being to open you up and to have you experience and restructure your life. Now, as Saturn finishes his last little bits of Virgo, he's doing the wrap-up and the cleanup, and he's saying, okay, we're finished, we're ready to go, we're ready to leave, we're ready to change, and then we're going to leave Virgo and for 30 years, next time he gets there is 30 years from now, and we are now going to go into Libra, where we're going to really focus on partnering and how we partner in the world, what our partners are like, how our partners work, if we have a partner, if we don't have a partner, and the universe is going to be wanting us to work in concept, in relationship with other people, with the idea being that we're all here for a reason. So that's the one shift that's happening, Saturn going into Virgo. Then the next one is the change of time into a new way of thinking, which is the Jupiter shifting signs. And as Jupiter shifts signs, what it does is it says, okay, I'm shifting signs and moving into Aries. So he's already done that shift, and in his shifting, he is making a whole new vision of how we are really working in the world. So your job with this is to say, okay, what's the new vision for Jupiter? Now, the last time Jupiter was in this sign was in 1998. So he's back to this, 1998, and he's saying, I'm forward moving, I'm ready to go, I'm in the movement, ready to go forward. And where am I heading with it? So that's the next piece. then the next thing that happens, so that's the 12-year cycle. Then we go forward with Pluto. He changed signs in 2008, and what Pluto does is he says, okay, I'm shifting, I'm changing, I'm da-da-da-da. And we then are looking now with Pluto changing at shifting and changing the energy of the corporations, the way things work, the way things bill, the way things process and run, okay? So if we look at that and we say, okay, let's process how that works, the idea is to say to ourselves, what can we do? How do we do it? We're undergoing major, major changes in the structures that we've built over the last 250 years. Each of us is. And in that change, we are in a major shift direction for all of us. So we want to kind of look and say, what's the major shift? What's the major direction change that's taking place? And how do we go towards that? What do we do to get that to happen? So our next direction is to say, okay, I'm ready to change the direction and move. And so if we watch that, we're kind of in this major shift that says, wow, I'm really, really changing everything, aren't I? And yes, you are. And if you know that, then you can kind of say, okay, the world is changing around me. I'm finding, huge changes. And what do I do then to help facilitate that process? Because it's really tied to a major change in the world's picture of things and how the world works. All right, I'm having a little computer problem here. Hang on one second. Why isn't this working? I hate it when my computer doesn't work. All right. There we go. Okay. Sorry, I'm trying to pull up the switchboard and do two things at once. I'm not concentrating. So when we find that major shift and major change, one of the things that we have to do is figure out how to move forward with it and how to change the direction and change where we're headed. All right. And then the next one is Chiron into Pisces, which is a huge shift. Chiron into Pisces alters the direction of where we're going, what we're doing, how we're going in that direction. And Pisces also, when it went into Pisces, it changed the sea. It changed the structure of the ocean. It changed how things worked. Then last but not least, Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune. Uranus, 84 years, new 84-year cycle starting. Last time Uranus was in Aries was in 1927. And I hate to say this, but my doorbell is ringing. I'll be right back. So hang on. We're going to go on a little pause here. Okay, so I'm back. Sorry, it was the doorbell, but someone's getting it, so that's good. It's nice to have someone here to answer the door. All right, so we'll take some calls and go to callers and see if people can talk. Hello? Hello, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, who are you?
My name is Seth, and I'm curious about the eclipses.
You're curious about the eclipses. Okay, very cool. And what are you curious about? How they're
going to
play out in your chart?
I have natal, my natal chart, my moon is in Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
And the upcoming eclipse is in Capricorn.
Oh, okay, right. Mm-hmm. Well, there's two. There's eclipse and full moon. The one on this week is in Capricorn. What degree is your moon?
Yeah. I don't know. So let me give you my chart.
Okay.
I am April 17th.
Wait a minute.
1971.
April 17th, 1971.
12:46.
Mm-hmm.
In the afternoon. And New York, New York.
Okay. All right. Okay. Got it. Your moon is at 17. So the first one isn't going to be that bad. The one that comes on the 11th of July is going to actually set off your chart more because your moon's at 17 Capricorn.
Okay.
And that one is at 19, so that's going to be on your Mars Moon midpoint. So that's the big one. That's the one in July 11th.
11th.
Yeah. So when that one takes off, what you're going to find is you're going to be very involved with people and very deeply connected on a different level. It's taking off in your house of groups and house of your, you know, what groups you're involved with or what groups you work with. So that eclipse is going to set off your moon and your sun. And if you think back to 1992, that's the last time the eclipse happened in this part of your chart. So
okay.
There should have been, it's the same story repeating on a different level. So when we find that, we go, okay, same story, different dress, ready to work with it on a new level. And your chart is really ready, you know. So I would say to you, it's the eclipse, what you're feeling now, because there's just so much of a buildup in the sky, you know, your Jupiter and Neptune are getting really stimulated very much by the Jupiter-Uranus joined in the heavens. So they're stimulating your Neptune already and kind of say, oh, I'm feeling all this extra energy kind of flying around, and you are, but the eclipse actually doesn't, you don't have anything on the eclipse until the one in July. It is taking place in the house of your creativity and in the house of working with groups. So you can find that groups are changing around you, or you can maybe leave a group or find a new group that you want to be a member of. And then the North Node is also maybe starting a group and getting or creating on your group a group that works for you or that is your group. It can be very much about creative process. It's also a pregnancy aspect because it's in the house of pregnancy. And so you want to be careful if you don't want to become a dad. It also is a creative house, so you want to create stuff now. And so a lot of times people start a book or they start a project or they begin something that they look at as a creative project that springs from this.
Yeah, I've been writing like crazy lately.
Pardon?
I've been writing like crazy lately.
Right. You know, it's like your whole chart is alive going, please, let me create. And that's good. You know, you really want that. So it's really about giving yourself permission to create. And the more you do that, the better it works. Because this eclipse is all about creating. Because it's very much in your houses of creativity. And it's in the house of love given, love received. So it also can be a relationship popping in pretty quick, which is great. So
that would be
I would say go for it.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah,
and we're talking about the first one or just the second one?
Well, they're both in that house. So, what you want to do is, you want to kind of say, okay, we're in it. And I'm running with it and I'm having fun with it and I'm creating with it and off I go.
Okay.
And if you do it that way, it'll work really well.
Great.
So
awesome.
I think that's the solution.
Thanks, Ann.
All right, good. Yeah, have fun. All right, let me try. I got an email from Heather saying she is here, but I don't know where she is. So I don't know what her phone number is. If she's the 914 number or, well, we'll try this number and see.
Hello.
Hi, are you Heather?
Yes, hello.
Hi, Heather. How are you?
Hi, there I am.
There you are. I saw the number.
For 10 minutes.
Did she still have a 914 number?
Yes.
Yes, she does. Yay, okay. Yeah,
yeah
I don't even know. You realize I don't have your phone number. I was
That's
like,
my Vonage number, not
yeah,
my cell phone.
Yeah, your Vonage number. Okay, cool.
Yes.
All right, cool. Well, Heather, welcome. Yay. So
Hi.
Talk a little. I've been
Thank
talking.
Thank you. Sorry. You've been doing beautifully, Mary
Well,
Matt.
I've been going, you know, trying to run the computer, trying to send you an email saying don't call because Mark, you know, we have that phone number that for the people who listen to our show. You know, we have that little phone number that we all call into, and when somebody pops off, you hear that little bell ringing. But when there's nobody on there, it plays music. So
I know. I thought about that. You can't get
so
on
I
there
didn't want,
there.
Yeah, I didn't want the music playing. So I said, all right, so
I'm,
talk, Heather. Tell us what you're seeing in the
I'm
sky this
still
week.
I'm still trying to find my way around the city. I'm here in Minneapolis. Just
yes, you've moved. Yes.
So I occasionally get lost coming home. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
So did you feel that huge energy shift between last week, yesterday, when the sun was in Gemini and the moon in Libra, to today with the sun in Cancer and the moon in Scorpio, how it got so
enormous,
dense and thick? Yes, huge shift inside. We're moving into that amazing, on Monday, grand square with 7 out of 9 planets involved.
Yes,
it's
I know
gonna
it's going to be really exciting.
Busy, ringing us like a bell.
I'm
now,
looking forward
that,
to it.
Yes, and we live here now in Hurricane Alley, and I
oh
am
where you
seeing,
are now? Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently we're you know the city itself doesn't. But last Thursday there were tornadoes north of us and tornadoes south of us.
Wow.
And, you know, there's tornadoes north of us today, and one took out Billings yesterday, or took out part of Billings, Montana. That I'm seeing this T-square mm-hmm. that is becoming a grand square now that the sun has moved into that position. And we have the sun opposed Pluto, getting intensifying through next weekend. We have, and both of those square Uranus and Jupiter conjunct, and square Saturn, although Saturn is out of sign.
Mm-hmm.
And that full moon's going to be right on that, ringing it like a bell.
Ringing.
I feel it already turning the winds, turning
yes.
things,
yes.
spinning. We can feel the crosswinds
mm-hmm.
cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
huge.
Hearing from huge. And that so many, because Saturn is sort of taking the heat because it's the out of sign aspect that's catching everything first. I am hearing so many problems with teeth, back, spine, foundations of the house, some really interesting solid Saturn
mm-hmm.
pieces,
right.
which you're going to be working on, and I ask people not to ignore them this week, next week, you know, through the end of July, actually. But that I'm hearing this feeling like we're not enough and feeling very depressed occasionally, some not everybody, but I'm hearing from about 50% of my clients, a depression about the future. And I just want to ask people to hold on, to feel that intensity and know that that's part of Pluto's job, uses it to kick us in the pants and get us looking for more. But not to think that we can read the future
mm-hmm.
of anything, even the
even astrologers that can think
even
they can
astrologers
read the, we can
yeah,
read the, we can read the energy,
our own
but we
lesson.
Can't always read the future. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We can see what the patterns are, but not the amazing way that humans, that free will and grace can take that.
Right.
So
well, you
we
know,
can always.
I noticed with, I've got a lot of clients too, talking
mm-hmm.
about lethargy as well, you know, being
mm-hmm.
totally exhausted, totally wiped out, totally
yep.
drained.
Yep, yep.
And I also think it's the Saturn-Neptune in conjunct.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is the Neptune and Saturn are fighting right now, and they're fighting in an aspect that doesn't allow them to move. In conjunct, you have to live in the moment and do stuff. But if they sit there, they kind of go back and forth. And Neptune is the dream, and Saturn is the structure of. And so a lot of people are feeling like the structure of the dreams that they first thought they were going to have, it isn't happening, and they get depressed. And it's like, no, no. What it is you have to work on the new structure
mm-hmm.
of the new dream.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take that structure step and work on it, or you do some Neptune work and you start dreaming the new dream and figuring out what you can actually do about it, Saturn and Virgo,
mm-hmm.
it'll shift the energy, and it won't feel nearly as stuck or nearly as blocked. Excuse me. And that energy clears on the end of this month, on June 27th, after the eclipse. So I think that's the other piece of it, too, Heather, with the T-square, certainly, but that in conjunct, it's making people really feel depressed and miserable, and they want to stay in their bed. I don't have a problem with that, but just then get up and say, okay, my new dream is this. Let me work on it. And it's amazing how once you take that action to work on it, or you take that action to come up with a new dream, it pops. You there? Did I lose you? Heather? I think I lost her. Hello, Heather, you there? Where did she go? Okay, well, I don't know. I think I lost Heather. Okay, let's see what's going on here. It's an amazing time, these little in conjuncts. All right, we're trying the switchboard again. Are you on the air? Hello? HTP's not found. Okay, it said she disappeared. Hopefully she'll call back in. All right, we'll try another caller. Hello, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, who are you? I lost Heather. I don't know
Hi.
Where she went. Hi.
I know. It's really
we're funny. We're having technical difficulties.
I know. It's
anything.
Very funny tonight.
I know. So. I'm glad you're having fun.
It's
good. No, it's good.
No,
as long as you guys are amused. Right.
Yeah,
no,
you laugh a lot. That makes it great. That makes it great.
Well, I'm just kind of going, what happened to Heather? Okay, I think she's show just dived back in. Heather, are you there?
Yeah, I'm in.
Okay, I picked
can you
up
hear
a
me?
Caller. I can hear you now. Okay, good. I picked
oh, good.
Up a caller while you disappeared, so we
wonderful,
have a caller.
Wonderful.
And hello, caller. What can we help you with?
Hi. Just you had said something about Chiron into Pisces altered
mm-hmm.
the direction and changed
mm-hmm.
the structure of the oceans and how
yes.
things work. Is that like a cycle that is years long or
50 years?
50?
Mm-hmm. 50, 5-0. So when Chiron went into Pisces is when that oil rig exploded?
Yes, ma'am.
And when he's stationed is when they put the cap on and they got to absorb some of the oil.
Okay.
So he's going to go back into Aquarius, and I think it is in August. I'm not quite 100% sure. And then he goes back into Pisces for good next year. So he's into Pisces for a little bit, and then he backs up. But 50 years he takes to go through the signs, so it's been 50 years since he's been in Pisces.
So it's not 50 years in Pisces. It's been 50 years since the last time he was here.
Right. He's usually about 8 years in a sign, 6 to 8 years in a sign.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So. But Chiron is a healer, right?
He's a healer, but he's the wound first. Remember, he got cut by Medusa's arrow.
I got it.
Yeah. So first we have the wounding of the ocean.
Okay, because I looked at that and I said the metaphor is we've got all these people in the world out of work and they are spewing all of their talents and abilities all over the place. Mm-hmm. And there's no tanker picking them up. There's no pipeline. There's no job. There's nothing. And so I was looking at it as the ocean was a reflection of what's going on, you know, like as above, so below kind of thing.
Totally, totally.
And
yeah.
So
and
then
the
when you said that, I was like, oh, wait, no, maybe we're healing something. But no, we have to have the wound first.
But that is the beginning of the healing, because in this case, for instance, that incredibly ingenious Jupiter-Uranus conjunction in Aries is beginning a whole new era of energy and a whole new era of technology that had to be triggered by the wound first, or we would never have catalyzed.
You're exactly right. Okay, great.
And because especially, and we feel that today because that sun trines into the Chiron so intensely today. Exactly.
Yeah, because it's right, they're both right at zero. Right. And the other thing is with Saturn in Libra, we're starting a new, you know, the United States chart has Saturn at 14 degrees of Libra. So they generally say it takes 30 years to build an infrastructure for a new energy system. And that's what you hear, 30 years or 29 years, your mind should immediately go, Saturn, Saturn. So what were we doing in 1980? Well, that's when Ronnie Reagan took office, and he kind of said, the hell with these solar panels that Jimmy Carter put on the White House. Let's take them off. We don't need to do solar. And we went back to gas, right, back to oil. So now we're at the 30 years later, we're at another crossroads saying, okay, what are we going to do about this? There's a bull billboard right across the street from me saying less than 3% of, 0.3% of the Saudi Arabia could power all of Europe if we did solar power. You know, we need an alternative. We've only had oil for 100 years. We haven't had combustion engines. We don't have to be killing our oceans with this fuel. I mean, you know, like it's just not needed. But we have to change the paradigm. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, but I get it that it took something really visible to make that happen, because no shift was going to happen the way it was going, and so now we've got 30 years to build the new system.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Not right this minute. That was a biggie right there because I misread it. Okay, great. Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay. All right, Heather, keep talking now that you're back. I was like, I don't know where you went away, and I'm like, where'd she go?
I don't know. It threw me off. The line threw me off. I'm wondering if that every so often they will throw off whoever's on there.
If Vonage does?
I don't know.
No, because you were showing here on Blog Talk. You were showing as being connected.
Interesting, but my voice wasn't getting through. I could hear you.
Yeah. Oh, you could hear
and
me.
Anyway,
okay.
So right now we also have Venus in Leo, and the Venus in Leo is, you know, and Mars in Virgo, so it's a really interesting paradox in relationships. Because all this going on, the moodiness of today, the deeper stuff that is coming up this week, can really put stress on relationships. And if we can watch that the Mars in Virgo, which is so strong this week as it trines Pluto, that if we don't start nitpicking or focusing on the fault. Sometimes when the pressure gets high on these major aspects, it's easy to feel the discomfort and look for the cause around us. Like suddenly your mate is just like, if they didn't put dishes in the sink, everything would be okay. But they're putting dishes in the sink and you want to throttle them.
Right.
Or you know, the guy at the corner or, you know.
My particular favorite is underwear hanging on the bathroom doorknob handle. I have to say,
yes.
That just does me right in. Do not hang your underwear. If you sleep over at my house, no underwear on the bathroom door.
I promise
door
you, and I will never will do that. But that the pressure of that of they can set off all of our petty stuff and take away from the energy of Mars and Virgo, which is healing and improving.
Yes,
it's, you know, it's a wonderful aspect for working on our own health as we want to and send project our own health onto the Gulf. To get involved with people taking care of the health of our society and our health of our ecosystem, to heal an animal. I mean, the Mars in Virgo can be tremendously surgical and tremendously healing if it does not get waste in looking for whose fault it is.
Right.
Venus in Leo says that the heart is there if we really give attention and appreciation to one another. When in doubt, don't look for the fault. Look for how you can feed what's worthy, how you can, you know, love the people that are coming up with solutions and support the people whose ideas you like and, you know, congratulate your mate for not hanging their underwear on the doorknob this morning. You know, do like praise what you want. Catch them doing something right and praise it. You know.
Right.
And that, that Leo can feed us and help us hang in there through the tough aspects that can just set us off and get stuck. And what I was commenting on right before I was so rudely thrown off by Mercury is part of the square that's coming up. And Mercury now is moving into a tight square to Saturn first and then a square to Uranus. So communication is going to be interrupted and sometimes challenging this week. And there will be a lot of misunderstanding, so that if we can start first by slowing it down and checking our facts before we jump off to the conclusions and deal with the fact that there's going to be some technical difficulties along the way. I'm really suggesting to people that they keep pad and paper handy and not count on their iPod having all the information on it at the moment, or their iPad or their iPhone or whatever it is, because the technology will flicker.
Yeah, technology
and
does
so
flicker.
So paper will be solid.
you need both. Well, I know my computer died this weekend. I mean, it didn't die.
Oh, did it?
What it did was the power supply went away, so it stopped working. I was just typing my stuff in, and it kind of went, it was like you could almost feel it. Say, I'm going on vacation now. And I'm bring it to the computer guy. I'm like, you know, and I go to these guys. They're good. And he's like, okay, we'll call you. We'll let you know. You know, might be fried, might be dead. I'm like, oh, man, you know. I mean, I was backed up, but it's just more the pain in the ass part of it, excuse my French. And so then I go today, call the day, and he's like, nope, it's fine, totally good, got it working, it's great. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, good, you know, I'll come get it. So I get there, and he goes, it's not working anymore. He said, it worked fine, and then it stopped. He said, I'm fiddling around, you know, and he goes, you know, it's kind of dirty inside. Of course, it's 5 years old, and I have cats. So, you know, he's got the side off, and it's full of dirt. And he's like, you know, you need to vacuum it a little more. I'm like, yeah. It's like Remo hair. You know, the cat's shorting out my power supply. But he's like, but it was working, and so I don't think it's bad. I mean, I've got it working, so I'll just fix it and call you tomorrow. And I'm like, okay. But on and off, it was working, it wasn't working, it was working, it wasn't working. And there was no big excitement, but it's that flickering of the power. And the flickering of the energy. Remember, Jupiter and Uranus are very excitable. So little minor things can set them off or turn the switches off on stuff. So it's really also paying attention. I think that idea of paper is good. Like with you, I'm like going, damn, I don't even have Heather's phone number. I don't know what her number is. I always talk to her on the blog talk thing or with email. So I'm like, I'm getting your cell phone number before, because Mark always calls you, you know. But it was like, okay, this makes sense. And it's that kind of crazy communication. So he calls and he's whispering, I'm on a conference call. You know, he's a board member of a big astrology organization, and he's like, I'm on a conference call. I can't come to the meeting tonight, because he's on the conference call. He said, I'm going to have to hang up. I'm like, okay, cool, you know. So it's very scattered, crazy communication, and just know it and laugh, because, you know, really you can't do anything else.
And make sure that you, you know, don't assume that it's like Mercury retrograde. Don't assume that someone's blowing you off. Don't assume. I've heard of three arguments today that where someone was assuming that they read the attitude of the other person appropriately and had not.
Right.
And so slow it down. Don't cop that attitude until you've confirmed your facts. Like, did you mean to insult me? Oh, you did. Now I can get
upset. You did mean to insult me. Okay, cool.
Right. You know, make sure that if you can just kind of give it that little leeway during this time. But... that with that, I mean, and I think that there's some crazy people are going to go, you know, in, you know, highly non-PC term there, but I think people whose nervous systems are a little fried are going to have a hard time this week.
Yeah.
So I'd sort of run, keep an eye on people that you know who are not neurologically stable, or who are prone to feeling very lonely or get despondent quickly. Because these aspects, the mood shifts can go deeply. And if you know that, oh, I'm having a mood, I'm feeling depressed,
mm-hmm.
you get through it. But if you go, or I'm, you know, wildly happy and I'm madly in love, I'll go marry that person. And you don't go like, I'm feeling something, but don't read the future into that feeling.
Right.
I'm depressed. Does not mean it's a terrible future. It just means I'm depressed.
Right.
It means I'm feeling the pains of the world at the moment.
Right, but it's a highly impulse-oriented week. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm ecstatically happy. Does not mean this is your mate. It means right now you're buzzing off each other. Enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, wait and see how the dust settles before the major decision. So I would really, and there's some decisive action that needs to be taken early next week, and all this week that, you know, it's an industrious time, but don't push the river and avoid making unusual radical decisions. Like, in other words, if you were heading to California and you decide to head to Florida instead, reconsider. You know, look at those last-minute decisions and see if you can avoid them.
Right. The other thing is, because we are in the eclipse season, is there is this sense of urgency that is a fake urgency. It's the situation's
mm-hmm.
been working for a really long time. It's been
yeah.
in place for a while, but now you feel like you have to do something about it right this second or you're going to simply die. You're not going to die. I mean, obviously, if you're spurting blood, go to the hospital. But if it's an emotional situation,
mm-hmm.
caution, compromise,
breathe
slow
deep.
Down,
yes.
breathe deep. And let, as one of my students said the other day, she says, well, you know, I always heard you're supposed to let the eclipse energy come to you. And I said, you know, that is a really good suggestion. Let the eclipse, if someone's really going crazy, let them come to you and just kind of sit there as the Buddha, you know, doing the Uranus, the Saturn in Libra and saying, or Saturn in Virgo saying, so how can I help you? As opposed to the craziness part of the Jupiter and Uranus in Aries. Because that's the part that's in the mood to fight. And that's the part that's a little volatile and isn't necessarily working on all cylinders. But this eclipse all answers back to Saturn in Virgo. Every single planet. Moon in Capricorn, Pluto in Capricorn, answer to Saturn. Sun in Cancer answers to the Moon in Capricorn. All the Aries planets answer to Mars in Virgo. Mercury is in Cancer, answers back to Capricorn and Saturn. So the whole chart is ruled by Saturn in Virgo. And Saturn
mm-hmm.
in Virgo pays attention to details and
mm-hmm.
is very competent and capable. On a bad day, he's highly critical and very negative. So if you're doing highly critical, very negative, you're doing lower form of Saturn. Come up with the plan. Come up with the vision. Come up and analyze the situation. Do a little brainstorming. Come up with a positive frame and then head towards that. Or at least take a tiny
mm-hmm.
step towards that, and that will help the Neptune not feel so nearly depressed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really, it's understanding. The other thing I think, Heather, that I found really interesting is this is like Mercury and the Sun are going to go dancing through the T-square that we're
yes.
going to be working with for the
yep.
next 2 months.
Yep, forming that grand square.
mm-hmm. Forming a grand square, but they're also kind of giving us a sneak preview of what the T-square
yes.
is going to be.
And sit off this, sit off that, sit off that, gets going
as
through it all in order.
As mm-hmm. it gets tighter and tighter and tighter between now and August, when the big guys all get together and go boom. So it's kind of like the trailer. It's the movie trailer happening this week in your life someplace. Oops, cat. And
so
I would like to just
notes.
Announce the cat knocked over a plant. Where we go, you know? We're
See,
sitting here on
the energy is erratic tonight.
The energy
absolutely
is erratic,
no
and
doubt.
Little Remo just managed to tip over the rubber plant. Well, okay. We'll clean
now,
it up after the show.
Did you deal with the email that we had?
No, I didn't do anything because I I had a reading that finished late, of course, and then called Mark, and he was, I can't talk. I'm on the conference call. And then I went, okay, I'm going to punt. So I didn't do anything. What
okay.
did the email say? Tell us about it.
You said, we got, you said, forward my birthday info is 6:30:54.
Wait. Let me put it in. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It says,
you went a little too fast.
I listen to you from Indiana all the time. Boy, are you ever correct about a strobe light shedding light on a situation that has to go. Oh, my God, you're incredible. It's been horrible last month, et cetera. In some ways, truly divine order, as hard as it's been for me, I believe in the higher good. bad issues with my boyfriend. We lived together for 7 years. I had a metaphysical store with him, and I'm an empath. And it goes on about, you know, being an empath in a bad relationship can not be good.
Mm-hmm.
And so she is asking a little bit, can the eclipses in this Cancer help me see men more clearly and see their honesty?
Okay.
So is there anyone new coming down the road as she has just jettisoned that relationship?
All right. And what is her birthday?
That is 6/30/1954 at 2:38 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And in, hold on, I'm catching it, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
My friend used to call it Fort Windy, Indiana, because it's so windy in Indiana. Fort Windy as opposed to Fort Wayne. Fort Windy,
Indiana.
It's
a nice state to drive through, though. It's the nicest road stops across the country.
All right, so June 30, 1954, 2:38 a.m., and so she dumped the boyfriend. Well,
mm-hmm.
the eclipse is all over her sun and moon.
Yeah.
So that'll
and
do it.
So mm-hmm. for the public listening, she was born at the new moon or the very last few minutes of the dark of the moon with the sun and moon in Cancer,
mm-hmm.
with her sun and moon and Jupiter all conjunct between 5 and 8 degrees of Cancer.
And she was born on an eclipse.
And her Mars was in 0 degrees of Capricorn. So she really is being rung like a bell.
Yeah.
So tell us what you see, Anne.
Well, I think the thing to remember, what's her name?
Hold on. I don't know if I got
well,
me a name.
Well, Fort Wayne, we'll call
Julie.
Her Fort. Huh?
Julie.
Julie.
Julie?
Okay, so Julie is having mm-hmm. the eclipse that she was mm-hmm. born under
mm-hmm.
right now, wake up her chart. So
yes.
it's a really big eclipse. And so for her, the releasing, which she did a little bit ago when the nodes were probably at 14 or at 16,
mm-hmm.
released him and said, okay, I can't deal with liars anymore because it's in the third house of communication. And people
mm-hmm.
born with this configuration, the Mercury in Cancer, think of it as a little slippery. You know, they're kind of slippery.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really mean to lie. They just kind of leave
mm-hmm.
stuff out. That
mm-hmm.
said, it's still not necessarily acceptable behavior. And Mars is the ruler of her seventh. We entered a Mars in retrograde up in the eighth house. So they're not necessarily honest about sexual matters or their feeling nature. So part of her chart's job is to discern what's real. And I often
mm-hmm.
find people with what are called the balsamic moon. So everybody notice who's following along, her
the
moon
very
is five
last, yes.
and her sun is
mm-hmm.
seven. So she's at the very last dregs of right before a new moon happens. So like balsamic vinegar, you know, it's from the bottom of the barrel. It's thicker, it's richer, it's juicier. But what often happens when you're a balsamic moon person is you have very, very intense relationships, kind of like the vinegar is, that last,
mm-hmm.
and then they blow apart. And the idea being that you're incarnating out of this cycle and you're mending
mm-hmm.
and healing past life relationships.
Yes.
So when I see somebody with balsamic, I say, you know,
mm-hmm.
intense relationships, end them on a high note, because what
right.
you're pulling them back in for is to, you know, resolve it. Now, what can happen is the relationship can transform once the past life issue has been resolved into something new and juicy, but
right.
the past life issue shows up right away. So
mm-hmm.
in Julie's case, at 5 minutes or 7.5 minutes or 5 days or 5 dates, you know what the past
mm-hmm.
life issue is.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're shown as a liar, just say, okay, lying is not acceptable. We need to really work on that in this relationship. Name it right up front, as opposed to letting you get into the relationship thinking somehow it's going to change. The minute you spot that past life thing that's hooked you in with them, you have
mm-hmm.
to name it and stop it, or name it and call it, so that it can be healed and resolved so that you have an opportunity to have a good, productive, ongoing
right.
relationship.
And I think that's an interesting point about when you get that last bit, that balsamic moon,
mm-hmm.
this person may feel like this lifetime is all about reading the last 5 pages of 1,000 books.
Yes.
That
yes.
you're here to finish up and close up cycles. It doesn't mean you're an old soul or a new soul. It means you're finishing a cycle.
Right.
And in this, a lot of people come into your life for these short, intense relationships. Doesn't mean everybody, doesn't mean everybody wants to leave you, and it doesn't mean you're always being deserted. It means that you're here to complete something, to finish up something mm-hmm. with them, and to leave with your soul feeling as clean about it as you can.
Right.
You can't finish their work for them. It's up to them whether or not they're going to grow from it. But you can feel like you finished and completed yours.
Right.
Now, there was a story in her childhood, mm-hmm. and we look at her fourth house, and I see the asteroid Hygieia, Venus, and Pluto conjunct, with Venus applying to a conjunction with Pluto, which mm-hmm. says to me that sometime, particularly around 9 years old, when her Venus would have conjunct by progression her Pluto exactly, but late
at age 14 and three quarters.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Somewhere between there, between the late childhood and early teenage years, mm-hmm. that she was in a story about that to love is to lose.
Right.
And love is a power trip. Mm-hmm. Now, she's too good a soul, and she wants too much from this lifetime to get caught in that. Mm-hmm. So she tends to override her own intuition. Part of her goes, it's all a mess, it's all a loss, it'll never work. Then it goes, it will not, I will be positive with that Sun-Jupiter conjunction.
Right. And the Venus in Leo, which is always an optimist about love, even if there is a slime
absolutely.
Ball.
Absolutely. And right. though it keeps overriding her intuition about mm-hmm. it, and I'd like her to listen more carefully. But listen to her intuition, but not necessarily in a paranoid way, but what can she do to grow? What she
right.
has to watch out for in response to this is that she can be sometimes controlling in relationship with that Mars in Capricorn opposed the Sun and the Moon and feel like if she doesn't control it, it's not going to work out okay. And that so she can get more suspicious rather than or more controlling or try to make it safer. And that
it,
usually
I would say
will,
make it safer, yeah, because it's
right.
going to...
And that,
cancer's
and
gonna
that
go
will backfire.
It goes all the time, yeah.
Right, it will backfire, mm-hmm. and it will send. It will tend to cause the people to have a part of their life where she can't see it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And cause the very trust issue she's got a problem with. So instead of trying to control, keep listening to her own intuition and speaking her truth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much choosing the right men as choosing to be in a clean relationship, speaking her truth, and giving them a chance to stand up or to be triaged out pretty quickly, as you said, if they don't do their work.
Right.
And I think the eclipse is really setting off this primary issue.
It is. And it's waking it up for you, Julie. Mm-hmm. So pay attention to what comes up for you, particularly around your value, because with the Sun mm-hmm. and the Moon in the second house, that's really what you're looking for in a Taurus rising. You're looking to be valued. And Taurus wants to be loved. Taurus rising mm-hmm. wants to be loved. And Venus in Leo believes in the higher form of love. But Leo can also sometimes get dragged through the mud. You know, remember, they're a lion. They like to wrestle the little mouse or the, you know, the wildebeest and the blood and the guts and the throwing it around. You don't have to do that anymore. That was your childhood. Put it away. That was your mother's story, not your story.
Yes.
Give yourself permission to have a new vision of love with that Venus in Leo as it's being woken up now with these eclipses. Revisit
and
that
willing
age
to
14
do the work
years.
To get it.
Yes.
Right.
And revisit
say,
the story. Yeah, from when you were age 14 and say, okay, let me come up with a different scenario for how that went down. That was their story that I watched that I think somehow I have to live through. No, 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 not their story, your story.
Not anymore.
Not
right.
anymore. You don't
especially
have to do it.
Because your progressed moon is now at 23 degrees of Cancer,
yes.
and it is about in 2 months to conjunct your Uranus and break the cycles that you've inherited from the female
mm-hmm.
lineage.
Yes.
And you can choose to do it that way. Your progressed sun a year ago went into Virgo, so you've already entered a whole new 30-year cycle
mm-hmm.
that can be more mature, more healing, more wholesome, more growing. Will continue as a series of firsts coming up
yep.
in your life. Right now, Uranus and Jupiter are squaring your Mars. You're not feeling very mature. You're feeling really pissed off, and that's good.
And that's totally cool. We like pissed off for
cool.
this chart.
Mm-hmm,
it's
absolutely.
Good for you to be pissed off for a little bit, yes.
Right. Journal it. Burn the letters. Get it out of your system. speak up about – write letters to everybody who's – ever pissed you off and you were too nice to say anything about it. Because
don't send
when
them.
You override that, when you do the Marsectomy and you don't own your anger, you start to turn off the alarm systems.
Right.
So but don't hold on to the anger. Let it flow out of you, but go back and do some Mars work. Any therapy you do now, releasing, you know, honoring the pain that you've been in relationship, releasing, honoring the anger and releasing it, and developing new relationship skills will just like, you'll be able to cook through it in no time,
mm-hmm.
and you'll be able to turn, it'll be very, very cost effective, and you'll be able to turn this around and take this work into very different relationships in the future.
Right. And the other thing is your Mars was retrograde when you were born, right? So
mm-hmm.
a lot of the past, a lot of your life in the past has been about redoing those old things. He's gone direct by progression now, and he's at 014, and your natal Mars is at 054, and he's picking up
mm-hmm,
speed.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes pretty quick over the next few years and connects. Plus your progressed Sun at 1.5 Virgo, 132 Virgo, is coming up on your Juno at 352, which is a marriage planet in about 2.5-3 years, or a major partnership planet. So the whole idea of owning your power and owning your Mars and not doing what Heather calls a Marsectomy, which I always like, because your chart is like, oh, that's not nice. That's not nice. It's not nice to be like that. It's like, right, it's not nice to be like that, but sometimes you have to be like that because otherwise people go, well, let me just take a little more from her.
Mm-hmm.
And your chart gives and gives, and that's okay. I don't have a problem with being a nurturing, kind, loving, Cancer, caring person, but giving appropriately to people that are actually good people for you to give to.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that that is part of what your job is to do here karmically is to nurture, but nurture in a healthy way, nurture in a good mother way, nurture in a kind and caring way. But now that you're a Virgo, not so much. Not so much. You're supposed to kind of say, you know, let me show you how to do this. Let me teach you stuff. Let me show you how to fish. Let me teach you. And you're learning how to apprentice it on a different level too, where it's like, well, that wasn't as effective as I could have been. Let me try it again in another way. And reframing, rephrasing, getting the gist of how to say it properly so that you get the results you're looking for. And you really, you know, think of yourself as a little flower ripening. You're a Virgo now for the next 29 years, and Virgos are very, very competent and capable people, and they tend to have good relationships because they're earth signs, so they set the boundaries, as opposed to the Leo, which we were for the last 30 years, where you fell in love with the idea of love. Which is, there's nothing wrong with. I love for love's sake, but it also, you're shifting your focus. So
beautiful.
Cool. Yeah, it's good. All right, so let's give out the number for if we have any callers that want to call in. And remember to press 1 so we can pick you up, 347-215-8881. And we have a caller on the line, so I will press them. And also 207-521, you don't have your hand raised, so I'm not calling on you. Because I learned if you don't press 1, that means you don't want to be called on. You're just listening. So we're picking up 212. Hello, how are you? Who are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Is this me?
This is you.
Okay,
you're on the air. Yep.
Okay. Hello, Heather and Mark and Ann.
Well, no Mark tonight. He's on a conference call. But he's working. He is working. He's not sloughing off and having a fun time.
Oh, you know what happened? I started listening, and I heard last week's. I started early, so I heard last.
Oh, you heard last? Oh, okay.
And everybody was talking about next week's the summer solstice. I'm like, but it's today. I thought it was today. Talk about energy flickering.
Flickering, that works.
That is.
Yeah. So, anyway, it's Sipora, and I wanted to give you my birth data, and so should I start
okay.
with that?
Yep, totally.
Yes.
9/30/64.
9/30/1964. Yep.
At 12:20 a.m.
Mhm.
In Yonkers, New York.
Mhm. I lived there for a couple years.
That's you did
okay.
live in Yonkers, yeah. Now you're out far away, in Hurricane Land. Okay. And what's your question?
12:20 a.m. Yes.
Mhm. So my question, well, I wondered if what stuff you see coming along. I've had your last caller kind of, you were talking about the sorts of things I was thinking about partnership and commitment and kind of.
Well, you know, your moon is just about exactly conjunct her moon. Well, not your moon. Your sun is at 7 degrees, the same degrees. It's square her sun and moon. So you're dealing with some of the same issues around how do you move forward into relationships. very differently, but you are also, these eclipses will be affecting you pretty intensely.
Yeah.
So, where exactly are the eclipses hitting? I have Cancer rising.
You have Cancer rising?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's on your...
It's your sun at 7 Libra. Yes, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Your sun at 7 Libra is getting the square from the eclipse.
Oh,
and then the
mm-hmm.
second eclipse, which is on is 19 Cancer, is right on your ascendant. That's a new moon on your ascendant, so that's huge.
Oh.
Once every 19 years that happens. So go back to 1992. So you're, what, 18? No, a little older.
Mm-hmm.
28, yeah, 1992. How old were you? Whatever you were. 1992 was the last time this happened.
Okay.
So think back mm-hmm. to then, because it's going to feel a lot like that energetically.
Yeah, 28, I guess.
Yeah. And you had your Saturn return, which, of course, for you was about figuring out what you're here for. So question, comment, what do you want us to look in terms of
the
eclipse?
There's so much going on in your
You got a lot going on. Your relationship
yeah.
stuff is hopping.
Okay.
Relationship's hopping. Neptune's on your Saturn dissolving your boundaries and softening your chart up and saying, let me just connect on a different level. Saturn's entering your fourth house saying, I'm ready to start a new 30-year cycle around building my life.
Right.
And building, moving forward. And it comes to your sun in the fall, which is a 30-year cycle around what's of value to you and how you value yourself. And it also sets off your Mars and your Venus because they're both answering to the sun. So you're really, your chart's really juicy and ready for a relationship. Plus, mm-hmm. the eclipse this summer is right on the nodes, pulling in somebody. Heather,
uh-huh.
what do you see?
And it's also that right now this week, Mercury is conjunct your north node
mm-hmm.
In Gemini. So you're learning to speak more about what's going on inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
But normally this month, between right before the summer solstice, up through the first 2-3 weeks of the summer, are a very good time for you to take a retreat because the sun's going through your 12th house, and it's a time for you to collect yourself. Because your chart has some interesting paradoxes that can leave you feeling sort of tugged in two directions and not knowing what to do with yourself. You have a very, you know, that fairly introverted Cancer rising with the moon in Cancer in the first house.
Right.
The moon in Cancer in the first house loves dealing with the public and is very good at it, but needs so much off time.
Mm-hmm.
And that line up with Mercury in Mercury, Uranus, and Pluto, all within 12 degrees of one another in your mercurial house. You've got a very fine mind, and that it runs a little high strung and the nervous energy, because it's also squaring your nodes.
Mm.
And so you've got a very strong mind, active mind, for sure. But your heart, Venus and Mars in Leo, doesn't want to sit still and read. It wants to live life and wants to get out there and dive into relationships and dive into art forms and to, you know, no holds barred living. Well, the Mercury in Virgo would rather just talk about it, and the Moon in Cancer isn't sure it wants to get out there, and the Sun in Libra and the Leo. So there's this inside, outside, pro, you know, forward, backwards that can sometimes leave you not quite in either. You need great privacy and great publicity. you need both extremes. But these few weeks of the first weeks of summer, if you can take them as a chance to kind of collect yourself and get and reconnect with who you are away from the stage, away from people, away from the public, remember who you are, then you can dive back into life once the sun goes into Leo and feel it, you know, wholeheartedly.
Mm.
Or even after July 11th when the eclipse gets off your ascendant.
Right.
Because that's like a brand new life. You're starting a new 18-year life that time.
Because
that's a new moon right on your ascendant and right on the nodes.
Mm.
So it's really
mm-hmm.
an 18-year life cycle. So I kind of find those to be really powerful
because
the nodes go around.
Mm-hmm. And that's echoed by your progressed moon heading into Aries on your
mm-hmm.
midheaven in 10 months.
Right.
Oh.
So, you know,
that starts a new 30-year cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You've got lots of new stuff coming in.
Because we were talking about Uranus and Jupiter moving into my 10th house in
mm-hmm.
Aries
mm-hmm.
a couple of weeks ago at the meetup, and I was saying I just feel no motivation whatsoever toward career work, like
mm-hmm.
nothing.
Not yet. Not
right, because all this stuff's going on in your 12th house. It's like you want to just sit in a corner
mm-hmm.
and.
Yes.
You know, but that is part of your career work. Right. And one of the things that, in order for you to promise yourself that you are willing to engage the world, you have to be willing to have privacy. That you have to promise yourself, if I dive into the world, I will have my time to myself,
mm-hmm.
and that I can have both. It's not a one or the other. Or you will never agree to that public. But right now you're doing a lot of emotional work,
mm-hmm.
a lot of relationship work.
Mm-hmm.
You'll feel more like getting out there and diving into life when your progressed moon hits
goes into Aries,
yeah. Aries in 10 months. But, you know, when we talk about career, you know, it looks like it's hard for you to imagine how to put all these pieces together in one life.
Mm-hmm.
What is your career, or have you decided yet?
I'm a singer.
Mm-hmm. There's the stage we were talking about.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I said that was the stage we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm very much a hermit a lot,
mm-hmm.
except people meet me and they're like, oh, you're so sociable, and I love, you know.
Well, you are if you've had enough time inside as a hermit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you
and
need the
you
hermit
need both
time.
Extremes. Yeah.
I do. It does seem kind mm-hmm. of very extreme in both ways.
Well, it's not. It's your finger of God, too. You know, when you have a finger of God in your chart with the moon to Saturn to the Mercury, what that says is I need time to recreate. And right now Neptune's on the Saturn dissolving all that, so it
mm-hmm.
needs even
mm-hmm.
extra more time than mm-hmm. it normally has, because Neptune in the fifth mm-hmm. is on your Saturn saying, let me change and shift the structures that we're working with and dissolve them, so I need more time alone than I normally do. And
okay.
you got to honor that, because what Neptune does is he either says, do it my way, or I'll,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'll
mm-hmm.
sit you down in a corner and, you know, make you stay home, you know.
Yes.
But you need the time. You do need the time. And giving it permission to happen, that's the key, because the more you do that, the easier it gets.
Ah.
Now, do you have a website?
I do.
Okay, because with Uranus and Jupiter on the midheaven, your website may be able to take the brunt of your career work.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you can use, you know, downloadable music from your website, the more you can let the Internet do the walking for you in the next 10 months before
mm-hmm.
you're ready to go out and, you know, dive into this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with your chart, I'm glad to hear that you've got several jobs going, because the teacher, you know, that third house loves to be the teacher and learn for the rest of your life.
Uh-huh.
But the Venus and Mars and Leo would be horrified if that's all you did.
Right.
You know, you have, like, I need time alone, I need time in public, I need time in my head, I need time in my art. And don't try to find one thing. It's like your life has to be a brocade,
mm-hmm.
and they have to mix together. And the people in your life have to understand that and honor your work, or they don't stay.
Right. And the other part is, because the Uranus is in Aries for 2 months right now, what this is more visioning in beginning time, and then he's going to go back into Pisces
mm-hmm.
for a few more months, and then he doesn't get back there till March, which is about mm-hmm. 10 months from now.
Oh.
And that's when your progressed moon goes into Aries.
Okay.
So they all kind of stimulate at the same time. So what you're doing now is you're incubating, processing the experiences from the last 30 years of your life and last 84 years of your life. And you haven't been alive 84 years, but the 84 as a subset saying on my midheaven, I'm starting a whole new life direction with Uranus hitting that. So this is a foretaste. It's kind of like a sneak preview of the trailers for 2 months in August, now through August. Then we go back and we do some more Pisces work. And for you, that aspects your moon. It's also going to aspect, goes back as far, I think, as 24. So I think it mm-hmm. definitely picks up your Saturn and your Jupiter and your Mercury. And then it's going to go back forward again, and your nodes, of course. It's going to go back again in spring and really start your stuff off. Because I remember you saying, I've got Uranus in my midheaven, nothing's happening.
And
you
I
were
don't
in the back.
Feel, yeah.
In the yeah. Huh?
I don't want anything to happen.
I don't want anything to happen. So no worries. 10 months. Make the plans. Have the visions. Have the dreams.
Okay.
Plant the seeds, but wait for the plant to ripen in 10 months.
And make sure that you sit down with, you know, all the parts of yourself and say, how can we agree on one future?
Right.
You don't have to do everything all at the same time,
mm-hmm.
but all parts of me need to buy into a balanced life.
Right.
And a dynamic, interesting, exciting, balanced life.
Right.
And then it's a watch how easily some of those blockades disappear.
Okay, so we're getting
the
British.
One? Oh,
no, we're the British ladies telling us we got 30 seconds left.
Okay, Bridget.
I don't think Heather can hear the British lady. Can you hear her this time?
Not this time. No.
Yeah, because it's on my phone. Okay. Yeah, the British lady is saying we're done. But
well,
you can
so
call
much.
Next week and ask a question.
Okay.
Because all of us are having the eclipse, and we want to hear how your eclipse went.
Okay.
So, Heather, you want to tell everybody how to contact us and what to do?
Yes. Why, yes, I will. You can find on
our closing,
on
our closing
Blog
monologue
Talk radio right. session. Yes. Mm-hmm. On the Blog Talk page, you can find all of our individual websites or contact Access Astrology at NYC, I think it is, astronyc.com.
Or you can email us individually, and we'll, if we figure out that it's for a group, we'll put it in.
That,
yeah.
Right. And you, and mm-hmm. if you email any one of us, we'll bring it on if you want to. Bring it to the class, I mean,
bring
it
to
the website
show.
Next time,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and we'll answer it for you, and you can download your podcast anytime you'd like.
And we
get
East
off.
West on Tuesdays,
mm-hmm.
Right. 6:30 to 7:30, as you just heard from the caller before. So you can come East West, you can call into the radio show, tell your friends, spread the word. We want to have astrology take over the world and help everybody go to a higher consciousness, because we love it. We want the world to love it. All right, Heather, what do you want to say?
And you're also welcome to call us for individual readings. Meanwhile,
yes,
this is
true.
Heather from St. Paul, Minnesota, saying goodbye for this week.
And Ann Ortley at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side, saying so long, farewell. And Mark on his conference call, saving the world for astrology, working with a large astrology organization. And he'll be here next week.
They need
week.
Him. Yes. Okay.
All right. Bye,
wonderful.
Guys. Have a good week.
Take
Remember,
care.
The eclipse is happening. Be careful out there. It's a wild week. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.